Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Coming up first this morning is Monday Morning Focus. And this morning, inshallah, we'll be focusing on, or we will be starting with our Hajj team. We are focusing, of course, we all know that it is Zilqadah. We are in the month of Zilqadah, just the month before the month of Hajj, Zilhijjah. And we're going to be focusing, inshallah, on some of the lessons from the lives of the women in the lives of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Today I'm going to focus on the life of Hajar alayhi salam. And what I'm really going to do is just share a very brief story of her life and also some of the lessons that we can learn as women, inshallah. And that will be followed by keeping up with the theme, inshallah, we'll be discussing a very pertinent topic. And the topic is all about being a woman, being forced to fend for yourself and your offspring. And of course, to joining me online from the Islamic Helpline will be Sister Anissa Musa. She's a chief social worker there who will be my guest, inshallah, for this program. And in this program, we're going to be looking at reasons, why some women are forced to fend for themselves. We hopefully will be looking at some of the challenges that single mothers face. We're also looking at how we can change the perception of society with regards to single women. And inshallah, if we have time, we would like to talk about marriage and remarriage rather, and its challenges. And these are some of the points that we would like to discuss, inshallah. So our lines will be open if our listeners has any contribution or do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. Of course, the number to dial 011-854-1548. We will not be taking any SMSs, so if you would like to, or WhatsApp messages, so if you'd like to, you can call in, inshallah. But for now, we're going to share with you a very brief little story about Hajar alayhi salam, inshallah. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam had been married to Sarah alayhi salam for a long time, but of course, they did not have any children. And as time went on, they both prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them a child, a baby. Sarah alayhi salam eventually felt, as she was getting older and older, that she was too old now and she may not be able to bear children. She then asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to take her slave girl, whose name was Hajar alayhi salam, as his wife, and maybe Allah would bless them with a child through her. Of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam, then decided to marry her, and of course, she did fall pregnant. Hajar alayhi salam had a beautiful baby boy and they named him Ismail. Ismail alayhi salam. However, after a short while, Sarah alayhi salam became jealous of Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. Of course, which is normal. It is something that happens, and unfortunately, not being able to control her emotions, she then asked Ibrahim alayhi salam to take the child and the mother to a land far away from her. She couldn't bear to see them, and she thought that was the best way of dealing with her emotions, that was her jealousy. Ibrahim alayhi salam, of course, then decided to take them to a place in Hijaz, which, as we all know, was a very dry, mountainous and barren land. Yeah, Ibrahim alayhi salam then left Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam under the shade of a lofty tree near the hills of Safa and Marwa. And this place had very little vegetation, had no water, had no people. There was nothing. It was an absolutely barren land. Ibrahim alayhi salam just left some food with Hajar alayhi salam and a pouch of water. Now, can you imagine how, Hajar alayhi salam may have felt at that moment? Can you imagine how Ibrahim alayhi salam felt at that moment, leaving his child in a land of nothing, nowhere, with no civilization, no food, no water. But he had to leave them there. Of course, after some time, both the food and the water ran out, and Ismail alayhi salam then began to cry. Hajar alayhi salam, as Namal mother would, started panicking, and this is when she started running between the hills of Safa and Marwa, looking for food and water, or looking for some kind of help, maybe some people, maybe a caravan passing by. So she kept running there, and she ran between these two hillocks 7 times. After the frantic search, she returned desolated, sad, not knowing what to do, but she returned, and to her amazement, she found a little spring had appeared where Ismail alayhi salam was kicking the sand with his feet. Water was gushing out from there, and she quickly ran, and she made a little embankment around this little spring where this water was gushing out. And it is said that if she did not do that, that would have been it would have become a river. It would have been the river of Zamzam. But it obviously, that little spring then collected the water, and she then from there drank. It had clean water and sweet water, and Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam then started drinking from it. Of course, the Zamzam spring is still with us today, producing the same sweet and pure water. And of course, that now, because water was found in the desert at that spot, it was not long after that that people began to move to this valley. And by the permission of Hajar alayhi salam, a few tribes then settled, and it gradually became a town, a small little town. And this town was near a busy trade route, and then many merchants began to pass through, bringing in wealth. This town, of course, grew to become the city of Makkah, which is still, till this day, a busy city in Arabia today, inshallah. So this is just a little, a little picture of the life of Sarah alayhi salam, what had happened to her after she had married Ibrahim, not Sarah alayhi salam, but of course Hajra alayhi salam. And what had happened to her, and of course, their son Ismail alayhi salam. Now, some of the lessons that we've learned from this little story is I think many of us have learned from here is women, Muslim women in particular, will always be facing challenges in their lives. That these challenges should be faced and should be accepted. You know, sometimes life becomes so difficult, but as Muslim women, we should be able to learn to face these challenges and try and accept these challenges and make the best of the situation that we are in. No matter how difficult a situation you find yourself in, to never lose hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very important lesson for us to learn as well. If we look at Hajar alayhi salam, imagine being left in a desert with no food, no water, no people around her, absolutely alone. And, you know, could you imagine how she must have felt, what thoughts must have gone through her mind when Ibrahim alayhi salam had to leave them and walk away from them and just leaving them there. But she had trust, and she had hope, and she had fear of Allah, and she knew that Allah would take care of them. Also, we need to learn to deal with our emotions. Now, if we look at Sarah alayhi salam, she became very, very jealous. Although she had given permission to Ibrahim alayhi salam to marry Hajar alayhi salam and have a child with her, she couldn't control her emotions. She started becoming very jealous, which is normal. It is a normal emotion that many of us go through. Women always have many issues with regards to our emotions, and we are easily swayed or influenced by emotions. Thus, we sometimes act irrationally, but we need to take control and learn to manage our emotions. Now, in the case of Sarah alayhi salam, she knew that she was very, very jealous now of Hajar alayhi salam and, of course, the baby, because she didn't have a baby, and possibly she felt that Ibrahim alayhi salam was spending more time with his new wife and his baby, his child. So what she then asked for her to be able to control her emotions, she asked Ibrahim alayhi salam, of course, to send or take Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi far away from her. So, you know, just so that she could control her own jealousy. And another important lesson also that we learn from here is to obey Allah's commands without questioning. Accepting Allah's commands. Unfortunately, you know, in our lives sometimes when things go wrong, we always ask, why me? Why did it have to happen to me? Why did Allah, you know, Allah do this to me? We, unfortunately, it's something that we should never do, but these are the things that we always do. We're always asking why. It's important for us to accept Allah's commands. We should never ask why. When something has been commanded by Allah, then we should just accept it as right. Don't question Allah's commands. Even Ibrahim alayhi salam, leaving his wife and child in an unknown barren land with no food, no water, no civilization. It was a command given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave them there. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, no matter how he felt at that moment, but because it was a command given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had obeyed immediately and he had left them there. And he trusted and he knew that what Allah, you know, whatever Allah had commanded him to do, there was only good in it. And the same thing with regards Hajar alayhi salam. You know, she ran behind Ibrahim alayhi salam asking him, how can you leave us here? Why are you leaving us here? You know, why are you leaving us alone in this place, in this barren place? There's nothing, there's no food, there's no water. How can you leave us here? But when she realized that it was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she immediately accepted it. And she knew that, you know, Allah would never do this if there wasn't good in it. So Allah will never put a burden on us if He knows that we cannot handle it. And I think this is such an important lesson that we all need to remember, that no matter what difficulty you go through in life, there's always a reason for it. And Allah will never put you in any situation when He knows that you cannot handle it. It's because you can handle the situation that is the reason why He has put you there. Now, these are just some of the great lessons that we can learn from there. I'm sure there's many, many more. You know, if we have to speak to an alim, they probably bring up more and more important issues with regards to this and more lessons that we can learn. Also, another important thing from this story is that Allah reminds us every year during the Hajj season when the Hajjis perform their rituals. You know, all these rituals are performed because of this particular happening in Islam. The act of running between Safa and Marwa was so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it became part of the rituals of Hajj. Zamzam water to this day is consumed by people all over the world, and it is as pure, as sweet, as clean and in abundance that it was then. So, you know, Zamzam water will never run short. Makkah, the city of Makkah, is still such a busy and thriving city today as it was then. And of course also the acts of Qurbani, the pelting of the shaitan, all these are rituals that have to be performed during the Hajj. And all of this reminds us of the lives of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wives and his son, of course Ismail alayhi salam. So basically, there's so many lessons that we can learn from here. And now, inshallah, just to, you know, keep up with this theme, we're going to be talking to Sister Anisa Musa, who is the Chief Social Worker. And the topic that we chose for our listeners today, which I think is a very pertinent topic, is being a woman. You know, and being forced to fend for yourself and your offspring. And this is becoming so common in our communities these days. So hopefully, inshallah, we'll be talking about that in a few moments. Also, a reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions, any concerns, any input, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial, 011-854-1548. And, of course, unfortunately, I'm not taking any SMSs or WhatsApp messages today. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your sister Zeenat, and joining me online is Sister Anisa Musa, who is the Chief Social Worker at the Islamic Helpline in Johannesburg. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Anisa.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zeenat, and to all the listeners. But just to correct you there, it's Anisa from the Islamic Care Line in Fortsburg.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's the Care Line. I'm always making mistakes. Yeah. JazakAllah. Sorry. Thanks for correcting me there.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Our topic today is being a woman and being forced to fend for yourself and your offspring. Now, it is not uncommon to find single sisters in Muslim communities raising their sons and daughters. And, of course, single parenthood is not fun and it can be very hard. Many mothers who decide to leave their husbands to better raise their children sometimes go through a period of confusion and bitterness. They begin to dwell into the unknown. They do not know why this is happening to them. The grueling exhaustion of raising children alone becomes a physical, emotional, and a spiritual challenge. Now, like I said, this is a very pertinent topic, Sister Anisa. And, you know, what are some of the reasons why women are forced to fend for themselves?
Okay. Sister Zeenat, like you said, you know, what your introduction is very pertinent. It's very relevant. That's a topic in itself. When we look at parenting, the one thing that, and the challenges around parenting, and the Islamic Airline has been driving that as a project in terms of encouraging parents who experience difficulty with their children, and even parents from of families that have broken down or marriages have broken down, to come in for parenting sessions, not to just bring in their children for play therapy, which we do. They're not necessarily, and it's not an isolated thing that children are having difficulty with their parents' marital breakdown or the family breakdown, but parents are very much an integral part of that system and need to be part of the process. So anyone out there, you know, who feels that their children are struggling with a marital breakdown, please, I'm urging parents, it is compulsory for you to be seeking some kind of parenting counseling. Parenting in itself is challenging. Now, I know I'm sidetracking a little bit, but since, you know, just to link it up with your introduction, so that's a topic in itself, but like I said, I'm taking the opportunity to urge parents that if you are taking your children for play therapy, to please be part of the process and get parenting counseling, right?
Okay,
so that's one thing in itself. As far as your question, Sister Zeenat, I think we all know that marital breakdown and family breakdown, the prevalence thereof is increasing, unfortunately, for various reasons. And so, couples, people, not just women, both men and women, are having to deal with the effects of that breakdown. And the and obviously we look at the reasons why it broke down. So there may be trauma, there may be change, there may be stress, anxiety, a lot of all of that. And then obviously the change. And change is a big thing. And change usually then also results in a lot of the challenges that people encounter. Now, I know it's Women's Month, and I know that women have been dealing with lots of things and compensating and filling various shoes as leaders, as homemakers. Even mothers will say, I'm not just a housewife, I'm the chauffeur, I'm the cook, I'm the tailor, I'm the hairdresser, I'm just about everything. Okay, so what I'm saying is that women have to fill a lot of shoes and have various responsibilities. And so when marriages break down, they also are forced, where women were not working once before, if they were not working when they were married, it now becomes a need for them to start supporting themselves and their children because of the breakdown and because of the split. So without sounding biased to any one particular gender, what I am saying is that with that change, one of the things that comes about is single parenting. And look, lots of mothers are in the forefront of raising their children because they with them the bulk of the day. Most women sit with their children's homework, so just on a daily basis, some of the, but I think the emphasis becomes more so when they're doing it on their own because there's no support from the other spouse, or there may be the participation of the father. Depending on what the parenting plan involves and how often the children are going to the father, but I think it's no more where they're doing it as a team. And also depending on how much conflict resulted in the marital breakdown and the nature of the relationship between the parents at a given time, whether they can or are able to support each other once they get divorced. Mm-hmm. Or, and to answer your question, we're not only talking about divorce. We may also be referring to instances where women have lost their husbands, mm-hmm. and they're widows, and they're forced to fend. And some may have extended family support, and some may not. But it's about uprooting. It's about starting your family again. It's about getting your children readjusted. It's about dealing with their behavior issues, their emotional issues, seeing to that they're coping, and then dealing with your own grief and your own trauma and your own loss or your own emotions, and then still having to look at the day-to-day responsibilities of school and homework and expenses. You may need to move out of a particular business. I'm talking about just initially when it happens. So all the changes that come about there, getting back onto your feet, re-looking at your finances, your social standing, all of that comes into play.
Okay, now talking about some of the reasons though, I think another very important reason is sometimes marriages breaks up as a result of, not even the marriage breaking up, being in a marriage, but having to be the single parent because your husband is of no assistance in any way. Sometimes husbands are not working. Sometimes husbands are not interested in even taking or helping out with the children.
Okay. All right. So if we were to make it a little bit more specific, right? Mm. Okay. So I think, and when I mentioned earlier about some of the marital breakdown, the family breakdown, and if you're talking about specific reasons as to why that happens, I'm just going to bring into play some of the prevalences. So if, let's say, for example, there's for financial reasons, sometimes, and I'm going to speak very openly about some of the things that we see, right? So let's say, for example, addictive behavior. So addictive behavior could take, remember you get two types of addictions, you get substance addiction and you get behavioral addiction. So the substance addiction, obviously we're looking at alcohol and drugs, and then we're looking at behavioral addiction like gambling, pornography, that kind of thing, right? So a marriage may break down, let's say, because one of the spouses, and okay, in this case, let's say if our topic is geared towards mothers and single parenting, then let's say, for example, the husband has lots of debt and he's been gambling. And so sometimes she, even if she's in the marriage still, let's say, for example, but she's still a breadwinner. And because the cost of living today, most women are forced to join formal employment, right? Mm-hmm. They're really working, they're really contributing towards the household, but obviously when the marriage breaks down, that responsibility becomes solely hers when her children are living with her, right? So it does take a toll financially. Then they may be, let's say for example, if they're substance abuse, and again, for similar reason, the husband may lose his job. And so again, she's doing that, and then eventually, again, when the marriage breaks down, okay? Then also, you must remember that polygamy and infidelity is also on the increase. And again, I don't want to sound biased in any way. It's not only men or only women that are unfaithful to their spouses, but also the bulk of the time, and you know, we're living in times where there's more women than there are men. And so what happens is, again, infidelity is on the increase. And so, and even when you look at polygamy, and I always talk about the fact that when you look at polygamy and men taking more than one wife, always think about, yes, Islamically I know it's allowed. And again, like parenting, polygamy is a topic on its own. So we're not going to spend too much time dwelling on that. But what's relevant here is that what happens is that when a man takes on another wife, he has two families. And so when that happens, he's not present full-time. And so the role of parenting again. So, you know, those are some of the things that men should think about when they get married. Is how old are their children? To what extent do they live in? Is there the rental role, is that also shared, right? Mm-hmm. So the bulk of the time, and my point here is, as we discussed, it wasn't even intentional. But when you look at it, if you look at the responsibilities that women take on, whether they married in a difficult relationship or they single and having to be a single parent, they take on lots and lots of responsibility. And even your working mom in your normal family is having to go to work and come back and put food on the table and contribute towards the household and see to children's homework and to get them ready for school. And that for some reason women take on those responsibilities. Some men may participate in that process and support it, and some and lots of them may not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you look at, and I don't know if I fully answered your question, but the reasons could vary. For it could be, like I said, it could be the death of a husband. It could be just his absence or abandonment. It could be that he doesn't maintain her for whatever reason, whether he's unemployed, retrenched, has a substance abuse problem, has a gambling problem. So those are some of the things that we're seeing, but I think I've said quite a lot in terms of some of the dynamics.
Yes, of course there's many other reasons too. We can go into so many, but that would obviously take up the whole program then. In any case,
we can always look at ongoing programs and, you know, what the need would be, but those are specific topics that we're going to have to look at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With regard all these challenges that single moms face, how can they deal with a situation like that?
How people cope generally is dependent on various factors. The one is your own coping mechanisms and your own level of resilience, your own level of independence, whether you've formally worked before or not, whether you have support structures, family support. And again, you know, times are difficult. I know Islamically, and if I were to speak strictly Islamically, and we know that women are supposed to be provided for by her mahrams, whether it be her father, whether it be her husband, whether it be her brother. In most instances, brothers are married, they have their own families. And if a woman has two or three children, is it always practical for her to move in with her brother and his family, for example, or with her parents? And most women then, when their parents are aged and they're elderly themselves, they may be retired, is it practical, is it feasible financially, is it economical for people to be raising more than one nuclear family in one household? So the coping of all of that becomes difficult, but it's dependent on lots of things. But it's important sometimes to get help. Like I said, you know, things like parenting and that, but if you're asking me how they're coping, it's a big adjustment. But one of the things that people can do is ask for help from co-parents. And I think what's important to remember is that when marriages break down, that we should try and break them down as amicably as possible, simply for the benefit of the children, and so that it makes it easier for co-parents then to cope. Because what happens is when there's so much conflict at the end, the parental role doesn't end. And I know we're focusing on parent. Like I said, it's unintentional, but at the end of the day, if we're talking about single parenting, then it's important that parents recognize that your role as a parent doesn't end when the marriage dissolves. And so it is in the interest of the children, and I think in the interest of the parents, the co-parents, to work together towards a common goal and keep in mind the benefit of the children, so that they also can have an amicable relationship and work together, so then the burden does not become so heavy. And then remember also that things like today, we have what we call the blended family, so people are still getting married with children from their previous relationships. So it gets very, very complicated, and the more we strive towards amicable relationships, the better the coping will be.
I think that is very, very important, what you have just mentioned.
It shouldn't be a power struggle.
Mm.
Children shouldn't have to choose between their parents. We need to be mature about it and rise above our differences and say, okay, fine, the marriage didn't work out, but we do have children together. How can we cooperate to make things as simple for everybody concerned? Right? So yeah, so there's lots of things. There's financial stuff as well. I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to coping. The more financially stable a single mom is, the easier it is for her to cope. The less resources and financial and monetary resources she has, the more difficult it becomes. But yes, employment then becomes something that she would need to partake in. And then also the ages of the children become relevant. And like I said, you know, the change in residence also. There's lots of things to think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not an easy task. And I think this is what we need to understand when we think about single parenting. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break right now. And when we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. Just a reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions or concerns or some input, please feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith. My guest is Sister Anisa Musa from the Islamic Care Line in Johannesburg. Sister Anisa is a chief social worker there. And we're talking about being a woman and being forced to fend for yourself and your offspring. Sister Anisa, with regards, you know, our society now, we sometimes not very friendly and very accepting of single mothers. How can we, you know, there's always this stigma attached to a single mother. How can we actually change the perception of society with regards to single moms?
I think we need to remember, and I think from the first part of the program, it became very clear that it's not easy to be a single mom.
Mm.
And they actually do deserve a lot of respect. You know, we always talk about being a mother in itself has such a high status. So why is it, you know, and that's the irony, is that if you're doing it on your own, then more respect should be, it's deserving of a lot more respect. And I think it's becoming frequent. But I think, you know, we should always remember that single parents or single mothers in this case are single mothers, not always by choice, but that's irrelevant. I think what's important to know is that there's another side to it. There's also an ex-husband, There's also a broken down marriage. So, you know, I think we shouldn't be judging people on the surface of why things are. I think people don't by choice. When I say by choice, even if it was a choice to walk out on a marriage, for example, but it wasn't because, you know, I was happy and I was having a good marriage and so therefore I just for no reason. There's always reasons why people are single parents. And I think everybody's in circumstances, even negative circumstances, because of whatever the dynamics were prior to that. So I think we should learn to keep our minds open about understanding. And instead of judging, we should be supportive of them. Not just because it's a single mom, and we should refrain from labeling people. Being a single mom or being a married mom, like I said, is still a role that deserves a lot of respect. And I think we need to support that role, irrespective, even if it's for the interests of the children. Because being judgmental is, it's a wasted. It has no purpose.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. You know, I think, like you said, it's so important for us to have, you know, that respect for a mother that is actually taking. And if we think of it Islamically, you know, there are so many women in Islam that single-handedly brought up their children. They are like great people that have come out of single parenting, and especially single mom parenting. So
look, it really builds character. It really tests a person, especially, you know, when we take into consideration, like I said a little bit earlier, in the Islamic context, women were supposed to be supported by their mahrams, and that's not always happening for whatever reasons. And this program is not intended in any way, I just want to clarify, is to undermine men or to generalize or to paint them in a negative picture. All I'm saying is that women were supposed to have been taken care of by their male relatives, including their husbands, fathers, and brothers. But for whatever reasons, that hasn't always happened. And so they are forced, like you say, to fend for themselves and for their children.
Mm.
And it deserves a lot of respect. It really, really does deserve a lot of respect. And there's nothing negative about that, because it's not easy. And so if anyone chooses to judge someone because of that, think about why would they choose to undertake something that comes with so much of responsibility and challenge for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, now I'd like to talk about remarriage, but it's going to take a lot of time, I think. But what I wanted to say is, with regards to what you just said now a little bit, is with regards, you know, trying to change the perception of our, you know, of people, of our society out there, is, I think, very important. One thing that I came up with and I thought of very much is, you know, teaching our sons their responsibilities. You know, they should know, as a Muslim youngster, what their responsibilities are. If in case, you know, you have sisters, if in case something happens to, you know, your sister is divorced, or your sister may become a widow, you know, they have to automatically start playing their role. And I think this is what I find is so important and lacking also in our community.
Yeah, I think it's something that is featuring a lot, not just in marriages, but also, you know, Sister Zenith, I think we need to start revisiting our values around gender roles. There's a struggle between the genders for some reason, and I think somewhere along the line, we have lost respect for each other. Men have lost respect for women, women have lost respect for men. I think that there's this power struggle in a way, and that's not how it's supposed to be, because like you said, when we raise children from a young age, we need to start looking at it. And again, it's strange how we're starting our program on the topic of parenting, and I'm going to return back to the topic of parenting, is that when we raise our children, do we raise our daughters differently from our sons? Are we teaching them that, we on the one hand, we're teaching them that, you know what, men can sit and the women need to weigh on them, let's say, for example. And I'm not saying that this is across the board, but what are the values that we're teaching our children? Are we raising them with two different sets of values? Are we raising them with the same set of values? And if we are, what's going wrong? What is the message that we're sending out? Are we instilling respect in our children for each other? And between our sons and our daughters, is there respect for the roles that each gender plays in our household? And it's not about, it doesn't even come down only to finances and financial support and whether, but are we instilling in them love and respect to say that the women in my life, whether it be my sister, whether it be my mother, whether it be my wife, are those values standardized? So what applies to my sister and my mother, would it apply to my wife as well, or doesn't it? What applies to my wife, does it apply to my mother and to my sister as well? And again, do we open our hearts up to support each other in those roles? And we as women, do we respect each other?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm, do I respect, let's say for example, another man's wife, do I respect my mother-in-law? Does my mother-in-law respect me? Do I respect my sister-in-law? Does my sister-in-law respect me? For us to apply the same values and standardize all of that. So what I would want for myself, would I want it for somebody else? And again, it's not even about, it's about general values and human courtesies, and that's what it comes down to. And it's about respecting each other, and men respecting women and women respecting men.
Most certainly. Well, I'd just like to end off with, by saying that the actual act of raising a child by oneself is daunting and difficult, whatever the circumstance. It is our duty as righteous members of Muslim communities to aid these single mothers in raising upright and conscientious Muslim citizens. And just as we would help our own sisters, our daughters, if they were suddenly left alone, we should adopt the children of single mothers as our shared responsibilities. It's so important, whatever it is that you decide to do, let us all support and encourage the righteous single mother, since she carries at least twice the responsibilities with only half the manpower, or should we say, worn women power. And I'd like to leave you with that, inshallah. And jazakallahu khair, Sister Anisa, for joining us and sharing this information with us. I'm sure our listeners will only benefit from it. Jazakallahu khair once again.
Ameen, I really hope so. And once again, jazakallah for having me on. Please, listeners, feel free to call the care line if you need to. And enjoy the upcoming Women's Month. I think a lot of women are great leaders. And deserve a lot of respect in looking up to. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Jazakallah khair. Well, listeners, that's it from me. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.